This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Let's hear more about our presenting sponsor.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
Thank you, thank you, thank you to Hooters for being presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for the second season in a row. Actually, at one point over the weekend, I was at the Hooters on 4th Street in St. Petersburg talking to Tony, the manager there, who, by the way, if you're in New York City, I know this sounds odd, but it's true. Tony, who is in the podcast league and is based here in my home area of Tampa Bay, recently and again this coming week for a stretch of, I think, 6 or 7 days, starting on like Wednesday, our friend Tony is also a manager, flown in to work at the Hooters near Madison Square Garden in Manhattan. I know, sounds odd, doesn't it? But it's true. And he's done it quite a bit. So, if you are a podcast listener in New York City and you're going to an event at Madison Square Garden over the next week or so, and you end up at the Hooters closest to Madison Square Garden, ask for manager Tony. He'll be stunned someone knows he's there. I would love for somebody to do that, all right? I'm not making this up. You can talk fantasy football with Tony. You can talk about me to Tony. You can talk about how in the world are you working at a Hooters in New York while living in Tampa, Florida? But it's true. So let's see if we can get one of you who listens to the podcast, who's down near Madison Square Garden in the next week, to pop into Hooters and ask for Tony. Tell him he owes you a beer. All right? I don't think we're going to get a rush on Hooters and free beer, but I think if it's one person and he gets approached out of the podcast, it might be one of those where he buys you a beer, or just say, Todd says you owe me a beer, and then I'll pay Tony back for it. What's a beer at a Hooters at Madison Square, near Madison Square Garden cost? A little more than I don't know, the promo beers might be the same. The hours are the same as the Tampa locations. Anyway, it is true, though. I'm not making it up. So maybe someone will actually take me up on that, and then email me the story at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Not that Tony wouldn't text me immediately. Okay, let's get into it. First thing, I just wrote down, I'm recording this literally 15 minutes after the Monday night game, football game ended. I waited because I thought one of the most significant things that would come out of this week was how Mark Ingram impacted Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara has been one of the best players in fantasy football through the first 4 weeks. So owners of Kamara were worried going into week 5, what does this mean? And especially if you needed Kamara to put up anywhere close to his normal points Monday night, you lost. You did, unless you had some other player going in the Monday night game. Because Mark Ingram got out there fast. And Mark Ingram played fast, and he played fresh. And Ingram put up nearly 20 points in standard scoring leagues. I think he had 18 touches. Kamara, amazingly, had 9 touches. Didn't do very much with them. And now consider the Saints are on a bye in week 6. I think I have this right. And then they'll be back in week 7. So we'll talk more about this. I kind of understand what Sean Payton did tonight with Ingram. I didn't predict it, but I understand it. Kamara's workload has been so heavy the previous month that Payton probably saw this and then the bye week as an opportunity to almost get Kamara 3 weeks between games. Now, granted, Kamara was out there tonight. He took a couple of good shots, but limited workload. Saints went in a blowout. Utilize Ingram a lot. And just kind of a game where it's like, all right, especially with the game flow, didn't need to use Alvin Kamara the way he did the first month of the season. So we'll revisit this when we get to week 7. But I think this was also managing Kamara's workload to make sure he's got some period of time here where he might be better come week 7 for the fact that he didn't really play that much in week 5 and now has a bye week next. And Ingram obviously fresh and very motivated. It worked out pretty good for Mark Ingram. It worked out great for the Saints in a record-breaking game for Drew Brees. Another down game for Michael Thomas. Now that's 2 in a row. And in a game where the Saints won easily, where Drew Brees and Sean Payton might be starting to feel more comfortable with a lot of their other personnel. Again, Thomas catches such a high percentage of his targets, but now two down games in a row. It's nothing that has you even considering not playing Michael Thomas in the Week 7 game, but it's just not something you want to get used to. All right, so there's the Kamara Ingram information, or as much as I saw it and what I think it means. I think you'll see a pretty equal share in Week 7. I do. It makes sense if Ingram is performing well and the team obviously welcomed him back to utilize him in those situations. So Kamara isn't overworked. So it's bad for Kamara owners, but again, you're not sitting Kamara looking ahead 2 weeks to the Week 7 game. No way. But if you drafted Mark Ingram and you hung in there and then you played him tonight, he might have ended up actually winning you your game because he gave you nearly 20 points on Monday Night Football. I always love having players on Monday Night Football who can put me over the top in the last game, especially if my opponent doesn't have anybody. Some other notes, impossible to cover every game, every player from Week 5 games, but some other random notes in no particular order. DeAndre Hopkins' performance was really kind of the difference in the Sunday night game. Very hard-hitting game with two young quarterbacks who have a lot of athletic ability overall, who want to make plays, who want to win. Dallas has the franchise running back. Houston has the franchise wide receiver. Both, I think we would agree, are top 3 or 4 at their position. Zeke at running back, Hopkins a wide receiver. Hopkins made one more big play than Ezekiel Elliott. You know, off the complaints from Jerry Jones and others why Jason Garrett didn't go for it in overtime on 4th and 1 in Houston territory, didn't use Elliott in that situation where Elliott and Prescott have been so good in those spots, and then you let DeAndre Hopkins make a big play to get the Texans in field goal range. Hopkins just showing, once again, he is a very consistent wide receiver one because the targets just are there every week. Meanwhile, there was basically no or limited Lamar Miller in the game. It was an Albert Blue game. Dante Foreman is coming off PUP. It just feels like this isn't about the health of Lamar Miller as much as it's just the Texans are phasing Miller out and don't think he's helping them. So if you are a Lamar Miller owner, I think you're to the point where if you see something else that's worthy of that roster spot, you might want to make the move. I don't at this point. You're not playing Lamar Miller. I don't even know that he's worth the roster spot. It just doesn't feel that way to me. I wouldn't go overboard on Alfred Blue. Maybe in PPR, I see a little more value in Alfred Blue. He's not going to have huge rushing games. But at this point, I think they're waiting for Foreman to come back, to see what he can do. He had a number of big plays last year, kind of like how Chubb has had some big plays early this year for Cleveland. So he'll get another shot at the job. Speaking of AFC running backs, as good as Melvin Gordon has been, and he's been fantastic for San Diego. Sorry, LAC, LA Clippers. Austin Eckler, he's kind of the new Tevin Coleman because the Falcons running backs aren't really producing. And it's even a week removed. Ito Smith got the call at the goal line, not Tevin Coleman. The Gordon Eckler 1-2 has kind of replaced the Freeman Coleman 1-2. And you are now justified, if necessary, playing Eckler as a flex play if you're in whatever reason a three running back league. Again, I think your flex play should be more based on guys who catch the ball, although Eckler does, but more wide receiver based. But Eckler is not someone now who's relying on Gordon to miss time. Eckler is part of the game plan for that Rivers-led offense in Carson, California. Speaking of running backs, a week after the Titans had that win over the Eagles and Corey Davis owners finally felt they got something out of it, and even I stashed Taywan Taylor because of his ability with Rishard Matthews gone, and step back for Mariota. Still not. Derrick Henry has had an awful year. I mean, there's just nothing good going on there. It's almost where Derrick Henry's not worth the roster spot, but you're reluctant to give him up because he's not, at least we don't think he's hurt. If he is, he should be on the injury report, but he looks slow. He looks uncertain. It's not like Deion Lewis is doing a lot either. I mean, maybe this is just a poor run-blocking Tennessee offensive line. But once again, the Titans show it's kind of one of the teams to avoid. You don't want to count on any players with the Titans to win you a week. Just hopping around here a little bit more. My comment still stands about Leonard Fournette. If you drafted Leonard Fournette, you are worse off than if you drafted Le'Veon Bell. Because with Bell, you not only knew he wasn't going to play week one, and then every week to this point, you now know he's going to return in a couple of weeks. With Fournette, it's been an every week disappointment. And already it appears Fournette is being ruled out for week six. And with Grant injured, TJ Yeldon's been a nice plug and play for a couple of games for Fournette. I don't think it's anything you want to get too excited about, but if you're desperate, yeah, it worked in week five and it might work again in week six. But I believe Jaguars are against the Cowboys, so that's tough sledding against that Cowboy defense, at least right now, although the Cowboys are coming off a very physical game. So Fournette at this point, just not sure. Maybe there'll be a little bit more urgency to get Fournette back on the field now that the Jaguars have dropped a second game. Seems like they're saving him knowing they're a good team so they can have him healthy for when they really need him, but they've lost twice now. They've lost at home to Tennessee in a low-scoring game, and the old Blake Bortles reappeared against Kansas City. The Jags held Mahomes without a passing touchdown and still got hammered at the Kansas City Chiefs. Cooks and Kupp ending up with concussions certainly hurt owners of those players, as that game with the Rams and Seahawks was very competitive with a lot of points. We'll get to the Seahawks in a moment. So you're just going to have to keep checking status on Cooks and Kupp. There may be a DFS bargain there. I think it was Reynolds. Was it Reynolds who came off the bench and just stepped right in and Goff threw to him like he was a starter since opening day? Arizona, we expected David Johnson would trend more towards being an RB1 again with Josh Rosen at quarterback, and that's been the case the last couple of weeks. So if you've been wavering on what to do with David Johnson, or you sat him out, no, he's got to play for you. And even though Arizona's a crappy team with a bad coaching staff, with Rosen at quarterback, things seem better for David Johnson from a fantasy standpoint. Actually, he had kind of almost, I think, in standard scoring leagues, about the same point total that Mark Ingram had. The Jets had a win against the Broncos. Sam Darnold threw for three TDs, didn't do much else. I wouldn't go overboard on Darnold, and I wouldn't go overboard on Robbie Anderson. The numbers were not predictable, and I think you'd be chasing points in this case. The running game set up those plays. Didn't see that coming either with Crowell and Powell. And Nunn was kind of in the only guy you could play, and he didn't have much of that action last week. I still think the Jets, from a fantasy standpoint, are a pretty dysfunctional offense. So I need to see more from Darnold, more from Powell, more from Robbie Anderson. If you're really desperate for a wide receiver, I guess you could pick up Robbie Anderson because maybe by – but again, he scored these touchdowns on three catches. That's it. And Darnold didn't make a lot of great throws. He didn't. It was just a potent running game that set everything up. Darnold also missed a number of other throws. Let's see. Sony Michel, two good games in a row. Out of nowhere, the Patriots not only win two in a row, but suddenly we look at them and we think we can predict what to expect fantasy-wise. But if you're a Sony Michel owner, you definitely like what you're seeing with Michel. It's James White is still starter-worthy, especially as an RB2 or a flex. Gordon got in the end zone, got some reps. I don't imagine many of you played him in that particular game. And Edelman had a good debut, not anything like Mark Ingram did, but he was out there. He was targeted, and I would imagine that only goes up from here for those of you that used a draft pick on him and a roster spot for the first 4 weeks. Eagles, not only under 500, they're not scoring. All right, this is a team that was known, the Carson Wentz-led offense last year as being able to put up points. And there are a lot of offenses out there in the NFL this year, even on bad teams, that are putting up a lot of points, and the Eagles aren't one of them. So you're not getting what you expected from Carson Wentz. Jay Ajayi is now out for the year. That puts probably more Wendell Smallwood than Corey Clement in play. The Eagles are already denying they're making calls about Le'Veon Bell. They don't have the cap room, but they made a deal to get Ajayi last year. Why wouldn't they make a deal to get a running back this year? Maybe they can't afford Bell, but maybe there's someone else they can't afford because they basically have a bunch of flex play running backs and someone has to start. They have the equivalent to me of it's a little better than the Colts backfield, but not much. And you're the Eagles. You just won a Super Bowl. Alshon Jeffrey had a down game. Zach Ertz finally got in the end zone. His targets are still there. But the Eagles lost some coaches. This offense and having a piece of it really hasn't worked out for anybody. I mean, I'm an Ertz owner, and I know overall, even though the targets have been there, and they have gone up with Wentz, the touchdown wasn't there until, I don't want to call it garbage time, but it's tougher to recover an onside kick than ever before in the NFL, and it just made that a 23-21 game. James Conner, resurgence after dropping off pretty steadily since week one. The matchup against the poor Falcon defense against running backs catching the ball out of the backfield was exposed again. Now there's already talk that if the Steelers do welcome Le'Veon Bell back, that they'll rotate him with Connor. You know what they could do is you can put Connor in the backfield and keep Le'Veon Bell on the field as another wide receiver. And you could, have Bell on the field at the same time as Juju and Brown and Connor. You can, especially with a quarterback like Roethlisberger, who can get the job done, you know, find the right guy, run pass option type plays. But it was an important game for James Conner. And for those of you that own James Conner who are worried he'll be insignificant in 2 weeks, I'm not sure that he will be, unlike D'Angelo Williams, 2 years ago. Falcons defense next will play against the Buccaneers in later this week. We'll have the Bucs bulletin and talk about if they're if there's any way the Bucs can take advantage of this mismatch with the Falcons and how the Bucs may actually try to utilize running backs more in the Atlanta game, believe it or not. Part of that is because Jameis Winston will be under center. Speaking of running backs, Seattle, Mike Davis 2 weeks in a row, and Chris Carson had another good game. Yeah, at this point, I guess I would consider picking up Mike Davis. I'm not going out of my way for it. I'm not cutting someone. All right, put it to you this way. I'm not cutting Derrick Henry to pick up Mike Davis, even though Mike Davis has had two solid games and Derrick Henry's had none, because that can all just disappear in Seattle. We've seen it for the last three seasons. But it was an encouraging game for Seattle from a fantasy standpoint against a Ram team that's just kind of banged up. They're not going to go undefeated. They still found a way to win that game, and Russell Wilson's best game yet. So there's just a bunch of random thoughts. You can of course email me any player specific questions coming off week 5 to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Bye weeks in play coming up. Saints on a bye week. Trying to think who else. I think Washington. No, not Washington, because Washington was just on a bye week. I'm trying to think of the other team that's on a bye week coming up. But we'll talk about that later in the week. New Orleans is one of them, which is a big deal if you own Drew Brees, if you own Michael Thomas, if you own Alvin Kamara. For those of you Mark Ingram owners, you just get him back, and now you can't use him in week 6. That does kind of suck for you. But that's the way it is. The last thing I want to bring up here is how there are all these complaints out in the fantasy community about the tight end position and how I can't find a tight end or there's nobody at tight end. And all I'm doing is kind of shaking my head, basically saying to you guys, where you been? The League I Commission, with its current makeup, we're in our fourth year. And so that means starting in 2015, I set up this league. And one of the things I was very proud that I set up in this league was a W/T flex. So here are our starters. And this is the way we've played it since 2015. We were one quarterback for the first 3 years. We're two quarterbacks now because we eliminated DST. But two running backs, two wide receivers, and the flex is wide receiver or tight end. You cannot flex a running back. That keeps running backs available on waivers, plenty to go around. And that's it. There was no must-play tight end position in our league. Going into 2015, I looked at the fantasy football landscape and simply said to myself, even though we're just a 10-team league, I said, you know, there's a few really good tight ends, and they're still there. Gronk, Kelce, Ertz, and for the first month, Cook was there at number 4. Did not have a good game, nor did any of the Raiders. Lynch, Carr, Jordy bailed out with that play that amazingly there wasn't a legal motion on the Raiders late in that game, the garbage touchdown. Point being is I looked at the tight end position and said, I'm going to make it optional. This was very simple. I did it 4 years ago. Nothing has changed. So for those of you complaining about tight ends, why didn't you address this problem in your league a long time ago and just take the tight end requirement out of your starting lineup and make your flex either a wide receiver / tight end or a running back / wide receiver / tight end? That's all you had to do. I tell, and we did it in the two podcast leagues as well. I told everybody, you don't have to draft a tight end. You never have to pick up a tight end. And even if you do, you never have to play a tight end. It is your option. And the only place you can play it is at the flex. And thus, no one in our league complains about not being able to find a tight end. So if I was able to identify this and basically eliminate it from being a problem, putting together this league in 2015, when I hear complaints 4 years later about the position, the only one you have to blame is your commissioner. Because you could have easily taken care of this. So file this away for 2019 in your league, that you don't have to play a tight end. Make it optional and make it part of the flex only. So that way there's still value in Gronk, still value in Kelsey, still value in Ertz. You can find room for a Cook or a Kittle or an Engram or an O.J. Howard if they're worthy. But then you got to decide, well, are they worth starting against, you know, a wide receiver 2/3, or if you decide you want to flex a running back, which is your option, I don't recommend it. But you can still play tight ends, but now you're only playing them if they're good enough to play rather than having to plug and play a tight end. So that's on you guys. It's not on me. 4 years ago, I took the tight end position out of being required and made it optional, and it's worked very, very well. Remember that when you put together your leagues for 2019. Again, email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I'm looking for more golfers to play in my football-themed tournament, Todd Wright Tour XVII, our 17th event in 3 years. Only $68 per player, open to the public. I welcome individual players, twosomes, threesomes, or foursomes. You can find all the details at joebucksfan.com/golf or email me. For more information, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. We'll tee off at 1 p.m., exactly when 7 1:00 games kick off on October 28th. You'll have parlay cards that will help your tournament score if your parlay cards are correct. And we have a morning game that day between the Eagles and the Jaguars. And if you pick that game correct against the spread by team, meaning your golf team, you will get an advantage on the golf course as a result of that correct selection, since that game will be a final by the time we tee off. So a lot of fun things going on in my tournament, and everyone in my tournament gets shirts from Todd Wright Tour 17. Again, only $68, lunch from Better Bird, dinner from Chef Daniel at West Chase, carved roast beef, mac and cheese, salad, and Chef Daniel's special cornbread, which we'll explain why it's special, in person at the golf tournament. Any questions, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Register now at joebucksfan.com/golf. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.